Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I have to admit, I don't pay much attention to the royals of today's world. Certainly not in the way that many other people almost obsess about them on a daily basis. Oh, I usually can come up with the names of the future king and queen, now prince and princess, but only because their faces are regularly on the front cover of all the gossip rags that I see at Woodman's when I'm standing in line every week. But I know just from those headlines over the years how big a deal it is. Truly a highly anticipated moment across the entire globe when we discover that another prince or princess is on the way. Eventually, the arrival of that child in the line of succession will also bring about all kinds of interesting opportunities for all the different media platforms to make gazillions of dollars on their coverage. Huge gaggles of paparazzi choke the entrances of both the castle and the hospital, just elbowing each other out of the way, hoping for that one little snippet of information nobody else has, or perhaps that shot, that picture, that image that will be the one that sells the most and travels the farthest as fast as possible. I can't imagine any child knowing how big a deal their arrival on the earth was at the moment they were born, not understanding along the way during life how important they potentially are to their country and their world. Again, I truly am only someone distracted by all of these situations when they intrude on my life from afar without me seeking them out. But literally, billions of people on the face of the earth want to know every last detail that they can get their eyes on about the key royals. From the very moment that they know that another child is on the way. This has been going on for as long as human history. From the time the very first crown was plopped on the first royal noggin, the decorum and traditions that have formed surrounding royalty and court life have made it possible for history professors and social science professors to have entire careers at major universities just focusing on the details of such things. And as an American, I realize we also have customs that surround important people and maybe people holding high offices in our land, but I am certainly grateful, and I suspect you are too, that we've never had to take a class boning up on all of the niceties and fine points of decorum and behavior just in case we might find ourselves in the presence of some royal personage at some unexpected moment in our lives. But as an American Christian, however, I am more than pleased to acknowledge that I do have a king. But he is a king unlike any other to ever have ascended to any earthly throne. And one very fascinating thing about my King Jesus is that most people throughout history that learned about him, that knew about him, seemed to never quite even register the idea that he's a king. Because of his humility, because of his transparency, because of his willingness to place himself beneath the needs of all of his fellow human beings to the point of death, suffering and brutal death, most people forget that he is the most important king to have ever lived and reigned, as he also will always be the most important. When he was born, there was no gaggle of paparazzi. There really wasn't, at the moment that he was born, a single royal on the face of the earth that had any interest in him or anything about him. But there were angels who arrived on the scene the night of his birth and ripped the skies of Bethlehem apart with dazzling lightning, brightness, and a song so gorgeous, so powerful, that it had only ever been sung before in the very halls of heaven, celebrating the power, the glory of the God who had made everything possible for peace to be brought to a sinful human world. They celebrated the arrival of this new divine baby king. No other king has ever had quite such an arrival and an acknowledgement of it. Not even King Jesus' great ancestor, David. We'll notice here that this is the town of David, that Jesus is of the line, the family of David. But if you remember David's history, despite the fact that at the moment he lived, he was one of the most powerful people in the world, and he has been acknowledged ever since as one of the most noble, high character kings to have ever reigned for the good of his own people. He was born to a shepherd family, a sheep farming family. He was the youngest of a whole host of brothers. So overlooked that when the prophet was sent to his house to anoint the next king of Israel, they didn't even ask him to come in from the fields because they didn't know what exactly was going on. They just knew that Samuel, the most important man in Israel of the moment, was standing in their living room, and he would have no interest in the runt brother that was left to tend the sheep. But we learn from that account that David was a man after God's own heart. And along the way, David would be informed by God himself that one of his descendants would establish his throne as an eternal throne. And that descendant that would reign on that throne would be a blessing to every human being that had ever lived and that would ever live to the very end of time. So actually, it should come as no surprise that in these verses that we have from Micah's prophecy, hundreds of years after David's death, that Micah points to the city of David as the place promised by God that the greatest king that ever lived would come into the world. Notice how Micah puts it together. At the moment that it will happen, Bethlehem, as the place that David came from, will have fallen into such obscurity and depression that no one will really acknowledge it as being anything special anymore. It wasn't much of a town. Micah readily admitted that. But here he tells us that one day it would be the most important place to ever have a birth occur. King David's greater son would make entry into the human race at Bethlehem. And the detailed prophecy that Micah offers us here in these verses is well worth our investment on Christmas Eve to understand all of this a little better. There are details we need to remind ourselves of, so let's take a moment and read those verses again. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. Little town, mighty big impact on the world. Despite it being an afterthought among the clans of Judah, the greatness of Bethlehem's most important baby, the prophet here tells us will continue and extend to the very ends of the earth for the rest of the time this world exists. On Monday evening, I was driving home and I heard the first few songs and the introduction to the broadcast of the Messiah from the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra. And the commentator that was assigned to get everybody in the mood made a statement that I found fascinating. He insisted that Handel's Messiah was the singular, most performed piece of vocal music over the history of the world. And that got me thinking. When you start thinking about Christmas carols, just the songs written for this event alone, that are Christ-centered, that proclaim who he is and literally acknowledge and worship him as the King and Savior of all humanity. And you take that and you add to it everything that we have in Scripture about Jesus, and then every poem, every essay, every document that explains to the whole world, whether you're Christian or not, and you're willing to read it, who this Jesus is, what he came to do, what he accomplished for humanity and for our eternal salvation. There isn't any way you can deny what Micah says here about the very ends of the earth hearing this name and knowing this person, this king born in Bethlehem. There has never been anyone else even close to the fame and the impact of Jesus on the human race. There never will be. Simply put, that's because while he is a man, he also is so much more. Micah here also states that in such a matter-of-fact simplicity, he foretells the birth at Bethlehem that we celebrate again this day. And he says that the descendant of David, born in David's town, who will be born literally after generations of turmoil and depression for all of Israel, will himself rule over Israel. And he says something fascinating. While he is indeed born at a singular moment in time, Jesus' origins actually are from of old, from ancient times. Now, when you hear those words, you very possibly have immediately on your mind the very first chapters of Genesis, especially Genesis 3. You're standing in that garden with Adam and Eve, and you know the devil has fled at that point because his dirty work is done. And Adam and Eve are trembling for fear that God is going to kill them on the spot because he told them, if you eat of that tree, you will certainly die. And they will find out in that moment that they have begun to die, but that will be a process. For them, hundreds of years of process. But then God doesn't leave them wondering how this is all going to go. He tells them in so many words. He will send a descendant from their own flesh who will crush the head of Satan and reverse the curse they had brought upon themselves and every human being that would come from their lineage from that point forward. And certainly I suspect Micah would have us have some of that information in mind as he talks about the ancient origins of Jesus. But you have more information available to you. And if you turn to the New Testament and you turn to the writings of Paul, you discover that Paul teaches us that all of this is pointing actually to even further back than that. That before God ever spoke one creating word, when it was only God and just God, he already knew and understood that he would have to enter into his creation as part of that creation, taking upon himself human nature, a truly human life in every way except for sin, that he knew before he made Adam and Eve, that giving them the freedom that he gave them for the purpose of their worshiping him freely with heart and mind and soul, that they would abuse that and abandon that and rebel against him, and it would eventually cost him his own life as a human. Separation of soul and body as that moment came when he would be placed in a borrowed grave. But not only does Paul tell us that he knew all of that before he ever created the world, it also tells us that he knew you, and that he knew you would be sitting here this night, this Christmas Eve, in this place, hearing this word, so that you might know and trust, understanding and believing that this child born a king in Bethlehem from the line of David all those years ago wasn't just promised along the way. Those promises could be made because he already existed. He was God as he is God and always will be God from so ancient times that time didn't even exist yet. There is so much prophetic material here pointing to New Testament and then historical fulfillment that we could literally spend hours sifting and analyzing and discussing, but that's not why we've gathered. We've gathered here to remind ourselves who Jesus is and why he came. We have gathered here to celebrate those truths and sing praises to the one who not only brought it all about, but made sure that we would hear and believe this glorious truth ourselves. So that's why I want to point you now to that last verse. It's actually just a portion of verse 5, the very beginning words, "He will be our peace." Take a moment and connect that phrase, that peace, to the song of the angelic host we heard in the Christmas Gospel of Luke 2 a few minutes ago. The king who has ancient origins, born that day in Bethlehem, never reigned here on earth in the way that we are used to royals living and ruling and reigning from human history. Rather, Jesus reigns over the entire universe. In the moments before he ascended into heaven, he claimed in his resurrected person as God and man at the same time, now glorified and made immortal, that all authority on heaven and earth belonged to him, and that he was returning to heaven for the purpose of ruling all things for the good of his people, for the furthering of his gospel, for the saving of human souls. While our brother Jesus has ancient origins from eternity, before time began, he came into our world to make peace between us and God so that we can know and experience eternity with God after time ends. This has to be an enormous reason why we celebrate the birth of this child annually on this day as so very important. The divine royal child of Bethlehem has ancient origins, and yet he will not fully implement his reign as king of the universe, until after he returns to the end of time and establish a new eternal heaven and earth. And in that future kingdom, the resurrected and glorified people of God, the Israel of eternity, will live with Christ at peace forever. So perhaps there will be a moment again this holiday season, today or tomorrow or sometime during the next week, where someone asks you why you make such a big deal out of Jesus at Christmas. Yeah, they get the idea that his name is right there in the designation of the holiday, but there are so many other things that especially American culture makes about this holiday. Why do you actually make it a priority to find time to go to a church and listen to the account of Jesus being born and celebrate him the way you are doing tonight? And perhaps you can answer simply, because Jesus is my king. He is the king who won for me peace with God and a place in God's eternal kingdom. You might even add, because of this lesson, this little detail of saying, he is a king who has ancient origins and yet will reign forever. I believe that and I celebrate that, certainly one night a year. But also, I know I will celebrate it and treasure it every day for the rest of my life. Perhaps, just perhaps, such a gentle, straightforward answer will have them turn to the Word. Perhaps read lessons like we've read tonight and lead them to know, to understand, to trust and embrace an ancient king who will reign in the future, perhaps their future, their forever with God, made possible by a baby who was oh so much more. Amen.